Interviews with Haunting Gurus.
Hey, joining me on the Bone Phone, it's adjunct professor and freelance designer from the Bates Motel and Haunted Hayride. By the way, don't call her Alyssa. It's Alyssa Kleckner.
How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. Hey, by the way, I'm sorry to hear that you have to work with Johnny Thunder over at the Bates. I feel bad for you.
Well, you know, it is a tough job, but, you know, somebody's got to put the rabbit head on his shoulders.
Is he the easiest person to get ready for the night? You just slap the... Go, hey, John, by the way, just bend over a little bit and go, boop, and then you go, all right, you're off. You're done.
Pretty much. Now sadly, I haven't been tasked to build Johnny a specific costume. So, you know, fingers crossed that I'm asked to build him. Really crazy. In fact, you know, maybe you should give me some ideas of what would be the perfect costume for our friend Mr. Thunder.
I know. He likes, like, the big stupid... He bought this thing at Transworld, which was an old-fashioned, like, a really old retro clown mask from Halloween. I think I've seen it on those old Halloween decorations. Those really old from, like, the 30s, 40s. And he saw this mask. He's like, I have to have that. I'm like, really? Okay. It's like,
you know,
just likes big stupid ends, you know? I don't know.
Well, but he wasn't alone. It's funny because there was a real sense of clown nostalgia that was part of Transworld this year, which I thought was pretty interesting. So who knows what angle that's going to take this season.
Yeah, I don't know. But he dug it. I told him, I said, you got to go back there and haggle him down. He haggled him down $20. I'm like, good boy, good boy. So I met you at Transworld, and you just finished up a seminar. And what was your seminar about?
My seminar is called Killer Costuming, and it was specifically about essentially taking design and construction from my theatrical background and how I made that work for the haunt industry. When I work with the guys out there, they're flexible in the respect that there's an understanding that to create a complete look, you can't just think about makeup or mask or costume independently. You have to think of it as a whole. So that's one thing that they let me do often is, you know, so I'll create a bunch of base looks that can kind of be mixed and matched and used throughout the attraction. But then when it comes down to, okay, so here's a new scene and we want to really kind of make an impact, or we bought this, you know, really fancy mask and the mask, you know, needs a really good costume to go with it. You know, can we work together to complete this concept? And so, besides making the costumes, you know, sometimes I'm also tasked where I'll sculpt a prosthetic or I'll sculpt a mask, and then maybe Sean or Cosmo will, they'll paint it. You know, so it becomes kind of a group effort. In fact, last year, Sean and I worked on the gorilla costume together. And so he sculpted the chest, and I sculpted a foot, and one of my students from Arcadia University, where I also teach, she sculpted the other foot, and then we built the costume off-site. So it became this huge effort to make this one costume, but in order to really kind of actualize it in a very short amount of time, we all just took a different task. We were in the same room. We laughed a lot, and, you know, we collaborated on the design. And then I painted it to make it really cohesive at the end. And it was ended up being great fun.
All right. So now, is that not typical? You don't have as many people, like as many chefs, with their hands in the pot. Is it usually just they got a mask, they need a costume, or they've got a character, they need the costume, and then that's where you kind of step in to create the rest of the look?
Well, you know, it's funny because designing for the haunt industry, it doesn't have quite the same rules as when you design traditionally for theater, which is what I have done for the last 15 years. I've been with Bates and Pennhurst for, this will be my fourth season. There's less, like, oh, well, you do costumes and you do sets and you do props and you guys, you know, everybody's off in their own little world. Specifically with the guys I work with, we do crossover and we answer each other's questions and we help each other out. I can't really speak for other haunts in that respect, but I would assume that a lot of haunts, it's a lot of crossover, a lot of collaboration, and a lot of all hands on deck. Like, hey, let's make this thing happen.
Sounds like it would be more fun when you have more input from people and everybody helping out than just, okay, this is what we have. Go get this done and come back with a finished piece or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I really look forward to my summers, you know, working with the guys because, you know, when I design theatrically, you know, I'm kind of the boss of that aspect. And so I'm the one responsible, and I have to make all the decisions, and I do all the shopping, and, you know, I organize the crews, and I do a lot of the cutting and the draping and, you know, making all this stuff happen. And being with those guys, like, everybody wants to learn a little something off of everybody else. And so we just kind of build that into the creation of these full costumes or these full looks because we want to pick each other's brain. And we seem to have, I guess we just allow that time to learn from each other while still being super, you know, proactive and getting stuff done. Again, you know, the theater season during the year, it's just like go, 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 and you just push. And not that there isn't a big push at the end. I think everyone can probably agree to that. You know, when you get close to opening time, there's always a big push. But over the summer, we really get a sense, get to build a sense of camaraderie and like shared ownership of our projects.
How did you start up working at the Bates?
Oh, well, actually, it was at Transworld. I went to it with a friend of mine, and I had decided that I really wanted to start working in the industry. I had dabbled in it previously, doing some sculptures for a haunt quite a few years ago. So I went to the show, not having any idea what to expect, and I went to the opening breakfast, the newcomer's breakfast. They were passing a mic around, and people were saying, you know, why they were at Transworld. And they hand me the mic, and I speak in front of people all the time. But they hand me this mic, and I start to get all nervous. It was actually very, very funny, and I stood up. They're like, oh, why are you here today? And I turn, and I point to the guy who was against the wall, who I was told was Randy Bates, who I had never met. And I said, well, I think I'm here to meet that guy. Poor Randy. He was just like a deer caught in the headlights, kind of like, oh, no. Like, he was very kind about it, but I could totally say, oh, I just put this poor man on the spot. And so they said, well, I guess you're going to have to talk after the, you know, after the breakfast. So after the breakfast, I went up and we started to chat. And you know, he was kind of feeling me out, seeing, you know, what was what. And then when I told him, you know, what I do professionally and that, you know, I'm in a neighboring town, he's like, oh, my goodness, it's due lunch tomorrow. I want to talk to you with a couple other crew people, and let's have a conversation. And the rest is history. I've been working with them ever since.
There you go. The door opened up for you, and you walked into the Bates Motel.
Yeah, and it just kind of goes to show that, you know, you have to put yourself out there. And even, you know, as somebody who's, you know, been designing professionally for 10, you know, over 10 years previously, you know, you still get nervous, like introducing yourself into a new group of people. And, you know, this Transworld was a whole new world for me. A whole new loud, foggy, gory, ridiculously funny world.
As we say, wicked, bizarre world.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Were you working in the kind of community theater, or were you doing more professional theater work, or?
At the university, I run the costume shop. I'm their resident designer, and I'm an adjunct professor. And then I design professionally in Philadelphia. It's interesting because it's a totally different world. And the haunt world is just so ridiculously fun, you know, because... so much of theater is about realism. Well, haunt is all about, you know, exaggeration and you know, really big stories told through, you know, tiny, tiny, quick scenes. I mean, so it's a different animal, but it is an animal that really feeds a creative part of me that I don't always get in professional theater in the city. And in part because, you know, the professional theater in the city, you know, they don't have the audiences that the haunt industry does. You know, you have people sitting there for 2 hours, and they have, you know, they have these expectations, and the, you know, the costs are about the same, to be honest. And but you know, it's just a different environment where the likelihood to actually make a living is really precarious in the theater world. And I think that what's so exciting about the haunt industry is it has nowhere to go but up right now. Because we all want to be scared, and we all want to be tested, you know. We want to see if they can get us. We want to be surprised, and we want to live within movie quality environments, and that's what you get to do when you go to these places. You get to be really a part of it rather than a spectator in a seat.
Yeah, to just kind of like get some maybe. Some tips and tricks from you. You were somewhat of a seamstress where you can completely take fabric and, or are you finding the right pieces that are already made and then making them work?
I do full construction. Okay. I do full construction. So what I will do is I will actually come up with a rendering or an inspiration image. It might be a conglomeration of an inspiration images. And then I will either find a pattern that's close to it, and I will manipulate that pattern, or I will do what's called draping, which is where you actually form the shapes kind of almost sculpturally over a mannequin with your fabrics to kind of figure out how those shapes work together. And then I'll cut and I'll stitch and I'll embellish. And then I also do a lot of theater craft work. And by that, I specifically mean, like, I know how to work in leather, which is something that we've been pushing more, actually, starting last season, working in leather because of how strong it is. I also know how to work in thermoplastics and like L200 and things like that, so I can create more anatomically dynamic understructures for garments as well.
What is L200?
Face Off folks would probably know what L200 is because...
Oh, I watch it all the time and I've heard it. I kind of forget what it is. Is that kind of like that kind of foam type of thin foam that you can mold and create? Pieces or
yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And now here's the thing though, is it's actually also marketed as mini cell foam. So, and that's how I knew it first and foremost. And the thing is in the craft store, they have Fun Foam, which is the exact same product. It's just a much smaller mill. But you can take, for instance, you can get the Fun Foam in, I think it's something like definitely quarter-inch sheets. Maybe sometimes you can even find half-inch sheets. And you can do some of the exact same things as the L200 that they're doing on, you know, these reality TV shows. But the pieces are much smaller, and therefore the cost goes up rather than buying big sheets of this stuff. But I've been using that actually... Before Face Off, I was using it to make puppets because I'm also a puppet maker.
Well, aren't you a jack of all trades?
Yeah, I like to fabricate. I'm a big fabricator. I've been for years, and pretty much anything I can get my hands on.
Johnny Thunder always says, "Hey, we're just playing with puppets," because that's what he refers to all the props and stuff.
When you're Johnny's stature, probably everything kind of is a puppet. I am saying this because, you know, I'm 5 feet tall in comparison, so I'm a puppet.
I'm kind of like his ventriloquist dummy, more than a puppet. If he could just get his hand out of my ass, you know, that's... Jesus. Now, where do you get the L200?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Foam for You, and I can't remember if it's Foam... The number 4 and then You, or if it's all spelled out. But that's where I also get my marine foam, which I use to make puppets as well because it's very breathable. And that foam is considered an easy dry foam, and it's got 35 pores per inch, otherwise it's also known as 35 PPI. And that's another great way to kind of build understructures for like padding to like do a hump or a belly or a big chest or any of that kind of stuff. Now that stuff looks actually like the filter foam that you would find in like an air conditioner or something. It's more or less the same thing. But that's what you can use also to make structures under which other costumes are built and they breathe. So if your actor won't sweat like crazy, because the L200, being a mini cell foam, is really dense. And so it doesn't have a lot of breathability, but it has more structural integrity.
So if it's breathable, it's probably better for actors because it doesn't heat up as much. Probably doesn't get as hot when you wear it.
Exactly. And if you use like the marine foam on a belly, for instance, then it flexes with your body. So you can, you know, jump off of something or run around and it'll squish and contract like a foam would, where the L200 is dense and it doesn't really want to allow that kind of movement in like your torso area. Now, if you put the L200 or something on your shoulders or on your back, where you're not getting that same amount of like crushing body movement, then, you know, that works better. So it's kind of like where you need it to go on a body.
It's the belly or it's the back. You're going to use one versus the other.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Okay. And then what do you use to adhere the pieces together? Is it just hot glue or is it something else?
Well, now you can use hot glue. It's not the best choice. There's a contact adhesive called barge cement, and that is actually an industry standard for a couple of different things. First of all, you can get it at a cobbler shop. They use it to fix shoes. But people who build mascots, they also use the barge cement. And when I say contact adhesive, think like rubber cement, except that this is like industrial rubber cement. And it's toxic, which is not surprising because it's a rubber cement. But it is super, super sturdy. It retains its flexibility. And a little bit difficult to buy. You can buy small bottles of that at like a cobbler in a shoe repair place. I get my barge cement from Candy Leather, which has a couple of different outlets in Pennsylvania. And that's also where I buy my leather from as well. So that's a great avenue for larger amounts of barge cement. But I use barge cement all the time. It's kind of like the best industrial contact that you can use to adhere to just about any number of materials.
And you get a nice buzz while you're working.
Get a little high if you're not careful. So use ventilation or respirator or whatever. But winter months, not exactly the best time to be using the barge.
Yeah. Do you kind of start your most of your work over at the Bates in the summertime, I think you said?
That's pretty much when I start. Basically, once my school year stops is when I start to really get conversations with those guys. Now, those guys are in conversations beforehand. I come in a little later in the game.
What are some other cool products, fabrics, or whatever, like other things that you can't live without, you use all the time?
One thing that I really like are vinyls. That's a great substitution for leather. The thing with sewing vinyls on a sewing machine is that unless you have a specialty foot, a Teflon foot, they don't like to sew well. So if there are people out there who have just tried to use their home sewing machine with a regular foot and it just binds up really badly when you're sewing, it's because you don't have a Teflon foot. But there's an awesome way around that. If you put a piece of Scotch tape on the bottom of your presser foot, it creates a smooth surface that essentially will run over the vinyl so that you don't have to invest in an expensive Teflon foot. It's an cheesy solution, and it works great. And the thing with vinyls that's really awesome is, you know, it's a stable fabric, and it'll really hold up, so like you can kind of create awesome faux armor shapes or things like that very, very easily and inexpensively. So that's one thing. Another thing that I've started to find that I can't live without are thermoplastics in general. And that's a big category of things. People who do cosplay, for instance, are probably familiar with two of the products that I use quite often. One is Friendly Plastic, and it comes in pellets, and it's little opaque white plastic pellets, and you heat them up and they become clear, and then you can reshape them, and they're excellent. Like, I love making teeth out of them, for instance, or chicken feet, or like there's really cool little details that really sell an accessory of a costume or a detail of a costume. And then the other thing that I use quite often is either Wonderflex, which is a thermoplastic sheeting that you warm up with a heat gun, and you can shape and bend over things, and it will then get hard again and retain its shape. Or Kydex. Kydex is readily available on Amazon now. It is actually the product that is used to make things like the dashboard of your car, or the hard plastic sheath for a hunting knife or for a holster of a gun. And so all it is it's a sheath good again that you can get, and it comes in all different types and all different thicknesses or millage. And you heat it up with your heat gun, and it softens it up, and you can drape it over a mold or just shape it with your hands. You have to use gloves, though, because it gets pretty hot. And you can create all kinds of wonderful shapes with that. And that's awesome material to make, like, say you have a character that has really big wings and it needs a little bit of a support shoulder harness. You make a Kydex piece that fits over the shoulders and goes across the expanse of the back, and now you have something that you can drill into and bolt into and put really sturdy strapping on, and can withstand a lot of abuse. And again, that product's name is Kydex, which is K-Y-D-E-X. And a lot of people don't know much about that just because it's used in industrial applications more than it is in costuming.
That's why I have you on here with me right now. This is the kind of stuff we're after. Is there anything, as we're kind of running short on time, any other little tips or tricks you can throw our way?
Oh, let me think. You know, I think that everybody who makes costumes should get themselves a rivet set kit and rivets from like a leather supply shop or even a craft store or something, because there's nothing easier to attach things back together than rivets. You don't need a sewing machine, and it's super, super sturdy, and you get to whack it with a hammer. Like, how great a feeling is that? Fixed with a hammer, and it's a costume. You know, so that's I guess, my last little pearl of wisdom.
It's rivets. That's all about the rivets. Excellent. Hey, so what's been your favorite costume that you've made at the Bates over the last 4 years? Do you have one specific creation or costume you were like, this just was your absolute favorite? You'd have it in your portfolio to show anybody who came, you know, if you were on an interview, this is the one you'd show them?
Actually, there's a concept costume that I had actually created before I met Randy, and then I adapted to fit within one of his scenes. And it's a costume, and it has a name. It's cowboy-related, and it's got a corset with guts coming out of it, and comes with the cowboy fringed gloves and a cowboy hat, and then his version was a saloon girl version of this, and the guts come out and form a lasso, and the name of the costume is Happy Entrails to You.
I love bad puns.
Who doesn't?
There are people out there who don't, you know.
They're crazy.
I know. Happy entrails to you. Do you have this picture posted anywhere that we could see?
I do. I think.
How about this? Email me the picture, and I will post it on our website in the show notes so that people can check it out.
That's awesome. And the picture that I actually have is of the concept costume, not of the Bates final costume, but I will send you the concept costume because it is one of my favorite costumes, and we did this ridiculously funny photo shoot with it. At least I thought it was funny. But then again, you know, happy entrails to you, you know.
Still makes
so
me
I
laugh.
I will happily send that your way.
Excellent. All right. So, what advice would you give anyone who's interested in getting into, you know, designing, costume designing for haunt or, you know, cosplay or whatever?
Well, I would definitely say learn everything you can about how to build a costume, because it's one thing to design, because design is concept. It's just putting things together. But then if you can't actually execute that concept, you're kind of in trouble, because to be able to sew is a real prized asset anymore. There's a lot of people who have a lot of amazing ideas but don't know how to execute them. So if you also take the time to learn how to execute them, that's going to give you a giant leg up on a lot of other people. The other thing is learn how to read commercial patterns, things that you can buy at any fabric store. And I would recommend McCall's, Butterick, and Simplicity patterns. They're made very, very easy to follow. And once you learn the basic shapes of how costumes are made and how clothing is made, then you can alter it in an infinite amount of ways, so long as you know that basic language. So don't go from zero to most complicated thing, because it'll frustrate you and you'll never want to do it again. Learn the language of sewing and design so that you can actually do it in a way that you will enjoy it and that you can communicate it to others and actualize it in an awesome way.
Hey, by the way, before I let you go, Johnny wanted me to tell you that he loves you when he misses you.
Oh, and I miss him too. It was actually really great to see you guys both at Transworld. Like, that was really awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you both again really soon, hopefully.
All right, hopefully. All right, we'll catch you around. Take care, Lisa.
And you too. See ya.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.